He sat on the shores of a desolate lake. He was homeless, starving, freezing. From the moment he was born, he had endured nothing but pain and contempt from everyone he had ever met. They never let him forget for 1 minute that he was different. A hideous creature, a mockery of creation. He thought being alone would make things easier on him, but it didn't. Depression was starting to creep in. He heard a noise in the distance. He bent down low to avoid being seen. On the other side of the lake, he saw something astonishing. There were three of them, all in white. He was struck with awe by their beauty, their slender necks, their wingspan. But wonder quickly shifted to shame. How could he ever be as graceful as those swans? There was no denying it. He was always going to be an ugly duckling. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales. Today, I'm talking about the classic story of Metamorphosis, Hans Christian Andersen's The Ugly Duckling. You might remember it as a simple children's tale, a metaphor for the physical transformation generally associated with puberty. No doubt you've seen the plot rehashed countless times in storybooks and cartoons. But if you dive into the original text, you'll find a rich exploration of bullying, loneliness, depression, and the fear of inadequacy. Be advised, this episode briefly deals with depression and suicidal thoughts. If you want to hear more tales, you can find episodes on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or Parcast.com. A new episode will release every other Saturday, so if you enjoy it, subscribe. Before we get into the story, here's some background. The influence of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales is undeniable. Although they were often aimed at children, his stories have tapped into the human condition in such a profound way that they've become part of our social consciousness. In 1842, he wrote one of his most famous stories, The Ugly Duckling. Though short, he spent nearly a full year conceiving and writing it. Andersen viewed it as his most autobiographical tale. Many interpret the story as a metaphor for how he overcame poverty and obscurity to become one of the most beloved and famous people in Denmark. Andersen was born in Denmark in 1805, conceived out of wedlock, and raised in poverty. His father died when he was 11, leaving his alcoholic mother to raise him alone. To help support himself, Andersen worked in a factory, but still managed to get an education. Much like the titular duckling, Andersen was a lanky, unattractive child with a large nose and giant feet. His fellow classmates teased him relentlessly. He grew up socially isolated, haunted by the feeling that he was unloved. At the age of 14, he decided to move to Copenhagen. He was determined to have a fresh start at life. When his mother asked him how he expected to take care of himself, he replied, quote, "I'll become famous. First you suffer cruelly, and then you become famous," end quote. And suffer cruelly he did. He lived in the slums, surviving on scraps. He tried his hand at singing, dancing, and acting, but failed spectacularly at all of them. Through all this adversity, he still managed to lift himself out of poverty and become one of the greatest storytellers of all time. A man who felt unloved by all around him died one of Denmark's most beloved figures. Now, join me as we take a journey to the Danish countryside. The sunshine of spring kissed the green meadows. Wild forests surrounded them with deep lakes hidden within, a bucolic wonderland. Here, among the beauty of nature, sat a duck on her nest. A first-time mother, she was both nervous and excited. Her mind raced with all the fears only a mother could know. Would they be healthy? Would they be happy? Would they be strong enough to survive? The world was often harsh and cruel. She knew this from experience. Her anxiety was compounded by the daunting task of raising her ducklings all on her own. Her Drake, the wandering rogue, had left her to fend for herself. Overnight, she became a single mother with many mouths to feed on the way. Now her back ached. She was tired of sitting on her eggs and ready for her babies to finally hatch. The process seemed unending, and she was beyond exhausted. Many times she had even considered giving up. But then, at last, the moment had finally come. The first egg hatched. Her firstborn stuck his head out and peeped at her. He was a magnificent sight, more beautiful than she had even imagined. She could tell that he would be handsome like his father. A second duckling came, and then a third. Her heart swelled with joy and pride each time she gazed into the eyes of one of her newborns for the first time. As they departed their shells, they looked around, taking in the wonder of everything around them. "How wide the world is!" one exclaimed. She giggled at their wide-eyed enthusiasm. They immediately took to the water and began swimming with ease. She couldn't wait to show them that there was so much more, that this was merely a small part of a great big world. She would take them across the parson's field and all the way to the farmhouse. But there was a problem. One egg still hadn't hatched. It had actually worried her from the start. It was much larger than the rest and had been difficult to keep warm. Unlike the others, it had been covered in dark brown speckles. She had to admit, her mind often wandered to that strange egg. Visions of what horrors might emerge from it plagued her. The older duck mothers had warned her that it might be a turkey chick egg. Such mix-ups happened from time to time. "They can't even swim. Best to leave it behind so they don't become a burden," they'd said. But she hoped it was all in her head. Besides, everything had gone smoothly so far. The egg would hatch and the duckling inside would be just as beautiful as the others. What was there to be afraid of? She would soon find out. Just then, the shell began to crack and a tiny head pushed through. Something strange emerged. A large duckling broke from his shell, tumbling forward awkwardly. He was a dirty gray color with a black as coal beak, nothing like her other golden yellow beauties. She gasped. He would never forget that look in her eyes. It was an image that would be burned into his memory forever. The first look his mother greeted him with. Sheer horror. Within his first few moments of existence, he knew instantly that he was unwelcome. He blinked at his brothers and sisters, who all looked back at him, confused.
"What is it, Mother?" one asked.
A look of determination fell over his mother's face. Suddenly, she rushed at him, grabbed him by the neck, and threw him in the lake. We'll return to our story in just a moment from the Parcast Network. And now let's continue our story. The gray duckling landed face first into the lake. Water closed rapidly over his head. He coughed as he swallowed some. He flapped his wings frantically, trying to right himself. Then, to everyone's surprise, he popped out of the water and began to swim. It was a sight to see. He caught on quickly and was even better than the other ducklings. You actually swim quite well. Indeed, you must be a duck and are no turkey, as I first feared, said his mother. Yes, ugly, but my duckling nonetheless. His siblings laughed and echoed this new word they'd discovered.
Ugly, ugly, ugly.
That word would haunt him all of his life. The time had come for Mother Duck to take her children out into the great world. She led them across the lake, through the parson's field, all the way to the farmhouse. As was the custom with all local ducks, she would present her children to the grand old duck. The grand old duck was said to be both old and wise. She was distinguished with a red ribbon around her ankle, which meant that surely the humans were saving her for a special purpose. The gray duckling was worried. His siblings continued to laugh about his looks behind his back. They tripped him and threw rocks at his head and taunted him with the nickname Ugly. Mother did little to stop them. She was busy making sure they stayed in line behind her as she navigated her way across the fields. The rocks made his head ache, but the tears that streamed down his face stung even worse. He slowed his pace and hid in the back of the line so they wouldn't see. He wished more than anything that he had been born normal, like his brothers and sisters. He hated the unwanted attention. Everywhere they went, he stood out. Why couldn't he be beautiful, just like them?
I never asked for this, to be born ugly. Why do they hate me for something I cannot control? He thought.
He'd hoped that the grand old duck, if she truly was wise, would see him differently. If she gave him her seal of approval, maybe his family would start to appreciate him too. He was, after all, the best swimmer. This had to count for something.
This duck is ugly, but he is the best swimmer, which means that one day he, too, will wear a red ribbon like me. He is truly special, he'd hoped she'd say.
For a while, the beauty of the countryside helped to keep him preoccupied. Even his siblings stopped picking on him as they became distracted by their new surroundings. Waddling up, the ducklings couldn't believe the farm's massive size. All different types of animals lived there, many of whom they were seeing for the first time. They smiled and waved at the pretty young ducklings, but when they laid eyes on the gray duckling, they snarled in disgust and whispered among themselves. The duckling's attention was pulled away by a great commotion coming from the duckyard. Two families of ducks fought one another, flapping their wings violently. An eel's head lay on the ground between them. Whenever one duck got close, another snapped at their neck before they could reach it. The grand old duck was perched on a box above them. She looked down, smiling cruelly as they savagely attacked each other. The young duckling shook in fear. The sight was terrifying. He rushed to hide behind his mother. As the fight died down, they all took notice of the mother duck and her new ducklings. The grand old duck held up a wing. The group fell silent.
A beautiful new flock you have, young mother. You should be proud, she said.
The gray duckling stepped out from behind his mother, hoping that he too had been included in her statement. This was his moment to prove himself worthy. His siblings would soon see. But in that instant, the old duck saw him and recoiled in disgust.
What is that?
She quacked. All eyes zeroed in on the ugly duckling.
That hideous creature cannot be here. He'll just be taking away food from the normal ones. Best to kill it now.
Just then, one of the bigger fighting ducks snapped him up by the neck and threw him into the crowd of other ducks. They swarmed him and all began biting at the duckling's neck. Snap, snap! Their powerful beaks ripped out the duckling's feathers and began to break flesh when... It happened in a flash. All he saw at first were giant white wings. It was his mother coming to his rescue. She flapped her wings aggressively, shooing them away. It was a powerful sight to see. She was a force to be reckoned with, fighting anyone who came close to her duckling. Finally, they all backed away. After all, a mother's love is a fierce love. For the rest of the day, all the other ducks kept their distance, fearing his mother's retribution, but it didn't stop them from taunting him from afar.
Ugly, ugly, ugly,
they'd whisper. Soon, it seemed like the whole farm had joined in. But it didn't bother him this time. He decided that he didn't care about what the other ducks thought anymore. All that mattered to him now was that his mother truly loved him. He decided that was enough for him. Despite the chanting of his siblings, he fell asleep at peace that night. But the next day, he overheard her speaking in despair to another mother duck. She whispered, lamenting about how her ugly duckling was such a burden. She hated to even admit it, but life would be much easier for her if he were no longer around. He was devastated. What do you do if the only person who loves you can't stand to have you around? He knew he couldn't change how hideous he was. The only option was to leave the farm and his family behind. The gray duckling fled. He flapped his wings as hard as he could and managed to fly over the fence. He didn't know where he was going, just that it would be better for everyone once he was gone. He traveled all day and night, but he stopped when he heard a familiar noise. In a nearby pond, he came across a flock of mallards. They weren't like the other ducks he'd seen before. They were wild, completely at home in the less hospitable backcountry. He landed near them and greeted them cautiously. Hunger and exhaustion had set in. He hoped they might teach him how to survive on his own. They stopped flapping and looked at him curiously. Suddenly, he was hit with a torrent of questions. Where did he come from? What sort of duck was he? Why was he so incredibly ugly? Then their leader, the King Mallard, swam out, shushing the rest. A striking presence, he towered over them all. The nervous gray duckling lowered his head.
Ugly duck, you are remarkably ugly. In fact, we have never seen one as ugly as you. But you are welcome to stay with us.
It was as if a giant weight had been lifted off the ugly duck's shoulders. He couldn't believe that the king had said the exact words he'd wanted to hear. All he wished for was a place to belong, to be accepted. Perhaps this was it. But the King Mallard continued,
"Do not, however, expect to mate with one of our own. We cannot have our offspring look like you."
His flock erupted in laughter. The duckling laughed nervously along with them. The thought of choosing a mate had never actually crossed his mind. His only hope had been to find shelter and food. He never dreamed anyone would ever think of him as a suitable mate anyway. He shared the pond with them for a while, but soon realized that he was not entirely welcome. They never included him at mealtimes or gatherings. Eventually, they pretended he wasn't even there. He began to feel just as lonely as he had before. Then, one day, a gaggle of geese arrived. They were loud and boisterous, but they immediately took a liking to him. They didn't mind that he was ugly and seemed to like him for his spirit. Two ganders in particular took an interest in him. They offered to take him back to their home. There were plenty of female geese in their gaggle, and he'd probably find one willing to marry him, ugly though he was.
"This is my chance at happiness," he thought, "to be accepted and maybe even loved."
Visions of a future with his new friends danced through his mind. For once, things were looking up for the duckling. The shots echoed across the countryside. The two ganders fell dead in front of the duckling. The water all around him turned blood red, soaking his feathers. He remained frozen in shock. The other wild ducks and geese took to the skies, but as more shots rang out, several of them plummeted to the waters below. Their lifeless bodies fell all around him. Blue smoke came from the moor. Several tall creatures brandishing weapons took aim. He had been warned of humans on the farm. Giant beasts that killed for sport. Up ahead, fierce bloodhounds with razor-sharp teeth collected the dead. They foamed at the mouth. The duckling had been caught in a hunt. He remained hidden until the shots stopped and all the geese fell silent. Terrified the hunters might return, he waited several hours before daring to fly away. Once again, he was all on his own. Our story will continue in a moment after the break. Now the story continues. Autumn quickly turned to winter. It was here that he first saw the swans gracefully cross the water. In his short life, it was the one memory that gave him joy, seeing them in all of their splendor and beauty. He fantasized about them coming back and taking him away to warmer, more hospitable climates. But of course, it was a foolish thought. He accepted that he was destined to be alone forever. The weather grew blistering cold. To survive, the duckling spent his time swimming in circles just to prevent the lake from freezing over. But each day, the circle grew smaller and smaller as the ice closed in all around him. In that moment, an overwhelming thought came over him.
"Why am I even trying? If I die here now, no one will miss me. I have no one. What does my life matter?"
Eventually, he gave in, letting the frost overtake the lake. His legs froze into the ice, and he waited for the cold to claim him. His next memory was hazy. It was the sound of ice cracking. When he regained consciousness, he found himself in a warm cabin, wrapped in a blanket, sitting by the fireside. He'd been rescued from certain death. But then he looked up to see two giant smiling faces staring down at him. He recognized their kind instantly. Human children. In a panic, he raced around the room looking for shelter. All he knew of humans were the hunters. Perhaps they were all killers. He tried to fly away, knocking over a milk jug. The children's mother burst in the room, responding to all the commotion. She screamed as she grabbed a hot poker from the fireplace and started to swing it at him. The children laughed and clapped at the cacophony. They loved the chaos. Their squeals of zeal made the duck even more frazzled and scared. He crashed and stumbled his way to the front door, pushing his way out. He spent the rest of winter just trying to stay alive. He nearly starved to death, but spring came just in time, and with it, warm rays of sunshine. He laid among the reeds as the snow began to melt. His body had grown a lot since winter began. How much more hideous have I become? He wondered. It seemed that the only good thing was that his wings had grown stronger than ever. He decided to fly as far away from that empty lake as he could possibly go. With a flutter of his wings, he was off. He traveled until he found a beautiful garden. Everything was so lush and green. On the lake, he was shocked by a familiar sight, the flock of swans from before. They were so beautiful, but seeing them again only brought sadness to his heart. He could never be like them. The depression was too much. If he was doomed to always be ugly and alone, he would rather die. His mind was set. He would swim directly into the flock of swans and end it all. Just like everyone he had ever met, the birds would see him and be so offended by his hideousness, they would surely beat him to death with their wings. It would be a much better death than freezing in the winter or being killed by angry humans. At least he'd spend his last moments in the presence of beauty. With wings outstretched, he swam toward them, ready to accept his fate. "Please," he begged, "take my life." But they only looked at him, confused. He swam closer, head hung low in despair, hoping they would be swift. But as he looked down, the ugly duckling saw his reflection for the first time in ages. The clumsy gray duckling was nowhere to be found. In fact, there was nothing ugly about him at all. What he saw was a beautiful swan. His dull gray feathers were now a brilliant white. His awkward neck, now slender and graceful. At first, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. His eyes must have been playing tricks on him. But then he heard, "Hello, brother." The swans saw the tears of joy in their brother's eyes and gathered around him, stroking his neck with their beaks. It was the first affection he'd ever felt in his life. They loved him and accepted him as one of their own. He was their own. Finally, here was the peace he had been searching for his whole life. Just then, a group of children strolled past the lake. Frightened, he hid behind the other swans. But then he heard them praising the swans for their beauty. A girl then pointed directly at him, saying, "And that new one there is even the most beautiful of them all." He was overwhelmingly grateful. His whole life, he had experienced nothing but anger and ridicule from every creature he had ever met. He'd begun to believe what they said, that he was truly ugly and useless. But now he realized he had been born beautiful all along. They were the ones who had been wrong. He joined his fellow swans, contentedly paddling around the lake, pleasure mixed with his disbelief, and for the first time in his life, he felt pride. He couldn't believe that he, who had once been the ugly duckling, now possessed all the happiness of the most beautiful swan. Throughout his illustrious career, Hans Christian Andersen wrote over 212 fairy tales, 6 novels, and 51 plays, not to mention over 1,000 poems and several travelogues. Because of their timeless appeal, his stories have been adapted countless times. Disney has returned to his works on many occasions, most famously with 1989's The Little Mermaid and 2013's Frozen, which loosely retold The Snow Queen. The Emperor's New Clothes, The Princess and the Pea, and Thumbelina have all been adapted in some form as well. The Ugly Duckling is no different. Over the years, it has been produced into films, cartoons, ballets, and musicals. Hans Christian Andersen might find some similarities to his own life story in Disney's The Princess Diaries, starring Anne Hathaway. The story of an unattractive teenager who discovers she's the descendant of royalty. Andersen believed he was the illegitimate son of Crown Prince Christian Frederick, the future King Christian VIII. Unfortunately, there is no evidence to match this assertion, but that didn't stop Andersen from making the claim throughout his life. It does seem like the type of larger-than-life backstory a master storyteller would create for himself. After all, Andersen often referred to his own rags-to-riches story as the fairy tale of my life. Everyone can relate to the hope that a better version of themselves exists within them, just waiting to emerge. As long as young people keep growing up feeling awkward and out of place, The Ugly Duckling will continue to resonate with readers. Thanks for listening to Tales. If you want to listen to more Tales, you can find us and subscribe on your favorite podcast directory or listen on Parcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, we'd truly appreciate a 5-star review. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Ron Shapiro, with production assistance by Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Brandon Botta and Casey Tillett Botta. I'm Vanessa Richardson.